This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105 Through the Fan. We have a red-hot Major League Baseball story developing as we speak, as Doug Glanville, ESPN outfielder turned announcer, joins us now right here on your home of the World Series champs, 105 Through the Fan. A good afternoon to you, sir. How the heck are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Great. Doing very well. You know, good days in Texas. Good days back in the day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got to talk about that, but before we get there, how about Paul Skenes? He's striking everybody out. He's sitting on a ton of Ks here and no hits through seven innings. What do you think we're watching develop here with this sensational rookie? Maybe the most impressive rookie start since like Kerry Wood or something. What do you say?
I mean, yes. Yes, he's. I mean, I think when you watch him, you get this mix of old school, new school. You know, you have the sense of he's got so much respect already that, you know, he gets like a standing ovation on the road. You know, like the people don't want him to come out of the game because I think there's a thirst for, you know, the pitchers that were the classic boxing matches, right? It was a toe-to-toe, you know, match between firearms, and they would go out there and sort of throw the electricity with command and intelligence. And those are the guys that you relied on to carry your team and go, you know, you see them trying to go nine. And so you think back to Steve Carlton and Tom Seaver and Brando Valenzuela, John Tudor, whoever, guys that just kind of went nine as a matter of course. He has that swagger about him. And the fact that he could blow you away and throw 104, he chooses to pitch and hit his spots and change speeds and pitch to contact when needed. You know, it's impressive to watch a young player be so adaptable, so dominant, and have the perspective that he's not trying to all get it right now. And that's there's a throwback to that, but he's also, you know, the future. And so it's a beautiful combination.
Yeah, Doug, you mentioned the future, but he does play for the Pirates, and the Pirates have a future of moving on from players. Is this one of those that you can't afford if you're a Pittsburgh Pirate organization to move on from?
Yeah, you got to hold on to him. And, you know, it's a franchise talent and and a generational talent, and recognizing, yes, it's pitchers, so they get hurt, and that's the scary thing, especially the culture and the data around max effort, right, making this max effort every single pitch. So that is a challenge, but that's all the more reason you kind of like hug them close, keep them close,
right,
while you have this electricity and you have this youth on your side, and you hope that you can use that moment to build around them. They have, you know, they have some definite talent in Pittsburgh because they have been in a situation where they've drafted high and had to kind of build from within. But he's a guy you want to build around because that's the type of arm that if you get to the postseason, you know, you always have a shot to win. You know, you just have a shot to win best of three. Skenes is on the mound. There you go. That might be, there's a W.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to certainly have in your back pocket.
Well, the Rangers have a young stud as well in Wyatt Langford, and you guys got to see him Sunday Night Baseball. First player in the history of Sunday Night Baseball to hit for the cycle. I was pretty stunned by that with how long you guys have been doing that. But what has stood out to you about Wyatt Langford and how special he's been so far lately for the Rangers?
Well, the meteoric rise is one thing. And, you know, I work with Sean Kelly in that game And Langford, you know, he called games at the University of Florida, and Langford was there like last year, like a year ago. So how quickly he's gotten there. Now, he had some bumps in the road, some struggles, injuries, but now he looks like he's kind of on time. Like, he looks like he's where, you know, he needs to be. And what I was so impressed with him is all the things he can do. He's a great athlete. You know, this is a powerful hitter that hits the ball a long ways, but he also is a guy that has the ability to run with, like, the best of them. I mean, you talk about speed. This guy has incredible speed. I mean, to be able to – and you have to, like, put that in your head, like, wow, the home runs this guy can hit, but then the ability to outrun the ball. And take that – take the cycle, for example. He turned a ground out into a single.
Mm-hmm.
He turned a single into a double, and he turned a double into a triple. That's how he got those hits. And then he hit the ball, you know, into the next county. So, you know, yeah, infield single, diving play, guy didn't even throw, Gunnar Henderson. Then he hits a ball kind of in right center. Right fielder gets it, picks it up, just hustles into second. Then he hits one left field wall. Austin Hayes is over there, and he just keeps going. Yeah. So this guy is, you know, a creator, and it's fun to watch, and I think he just has, like, no limit, really, to his game.
Doug, I'm going to ask you to put on your general manager's hat and be Chris Young here, and with what you've seen from the American League West, should the Rangers be sellers in this market, or do they need to hold on and try and win this division?
I say you hold on. You're world champs. You know, you're world champs. And yeah, the Mariners have weaknesses. They can have their offensive struggles. They have some very good pitching. But, you know, you think about, I don't know, if you know, Jacob deGrom, all these guys lurking in the shadows. They're trying to come through. Scherzer, all these. You're like, you know, and then you maybe make a move.
Right.
You maybe make a move, and all of a sudden you're right there. This division is winnable, and just for that reason alone, you know, you gotta go for it. You're dealing with Baltimore. Yes, you're dealing with the Yankees. I mean, Cleveland's just been incredible this season. But there's some slots open, and as the world champs, especially talking to Bochy last week, he's like, well, you know, we're hitting below average. We're hitting a notch below what everybody is capable of, so maybe that just means if they get back to average, then we're going to have a heck of a second half.
It's Doug Glanville, ESPN, with you here on 105.3 The Fan. So 2003, you play for the Rangers. What do you remember most about that stretch of your career?
I had a great time in Texas. Really, really loved playing there. And I remember the hospitality. I remember just the friendliness. I mean, so that stood out to me. It was a tough year in that I got hurt early in April, and I tore my hamstring tendon, so I had to come back. But then I came back and got hot in July, and then got traded to the Cubs. But I remember so much that Buck Showalter was my manager. The attention to detail, he was fun in many ways as well. Playing with some incredible, talented hitters like A-Rod and Palmeiro, yeah, and, you know, Carl Everett and Juan Gonzalez and Michael Young. And I thought I was going to score 200 runs when I signed over there. I was like, finally, these guys get hit. But we'd have, you know, our pitching was struggling. I knew we were in trouble because the first day of spring training at the new park in Surprise, right? And I sit down across from Chan Ho Park, who was our ace, right? Big contract. And he says to me, he's like, well, you played against me, right, when I was with LA. I said, yeah, I faced you a bunch of times. He's like, do you remember what I throw? Do you remember what pitches I throw? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, you don't know, or are you just asking me? He's like, no, I don't know. Is my fastball good? I was like, oh, we're in trouble.
Doug, what do you think about DFW, though, as an all-star game host?
Yeah, the new ballpark. I mean, newest, you know, that. It's a great place to watch a game. I mean, I sometimes come in from the back, across from the press box. And it's amazing. I love all the, well, certainly new and all the features, but the fact that they built it sort of upright, so you're close to the action, you know, no matter where you're sitting, you know, it's steep. It creates a steepness to it, but it also creates a closeness to it. So I definitely enjoy that. And just like seeing the fans and being on the field, and I think there's a good shot to see a lot of home runs. So that's going to be fun for the Derby.
Yes, well, speaking of the Home Run Derby, Adolis Garcia is going to compete now his second consecutive year. You think he's got a shot to win this thing? I mean, what are you excited about watching the Derby?
Oh, I'm excited because, well, for one, the new rules makes it a little interesting. You have to kind of pace yourself and get a rhythm with your batting practice pitcher. So you need a kind of a strategy because there's a time, but there's also, like, you know, number of swings and pitches and all these things. So there's that. But Garcia definitely has a shot because he's a guy that, he loves the stage. He rises to the occasion. And, you know, when he gets hot with his power game, he can get going. The thing about Garcia is he's not – you always think of power hitters right away. You think of like fastball hitters, four-seamer guys. He's more of a slider guy. You know, he kind of likes to kind of lean out there and hit the breaking pitches. You know, he has that kind of speed, the way his bat plays through the zone. So I think the key will be his matchup with, you know, I don't know who he's chosen to throw batting practice, but, you know, maybe it's, you know, Beasley or Will Venable or something. Oh, I thought you called him Will. Yeah, Will, I'm thinking of Max, but Will Venable. So I don't know, but I really like his shot. He's a streaky guy that gets power hot.
Yeah, Doug, we were talking about that on the show yesterday. The batting practice pitcher is, I kind of feel like, is the key here. Like, if, you know, you got to just keep, you know, feeding that ball into that slot. But who you select, I mean, is got to be key to who wins these things, right?
Oh, it's absolutely key. And that sink, if you get in and that rhythm, and then the person is throwing strikes, throwing it to your zone. Like, if I was ever taking a home run, I'd get a high ball pitcher that threw a four-seamer at the top of the zone. And then I have that's where I had a power game. That's where I'd be a legit power guy. Anywhere else, though, that was it. But, you know, so I think guys, like, need to know their zone
right. And
then have an understanding of the pace, no doubt.
Okay, Doug, Rangers-Astros starting tomorrow. Which team has the better chance of making a noise? Which of the two is the better team right now?
Well, right now, I mean, the last, 10 games, 2 weeks, Rangers have looked really good. They got their offense going. You know, I know both have battled some health issues. The Astros, you know, got off really slowly. They played well. Tucker went down. But I like the way the Ranger offense is coming together because it's very much proven. Last year, they can just, you know, beat a team by just swinging the bat with Seager, Simeon at the top of the order, all-stars. They got some really incredible offensive upside. And, you know, I don't know if Josh Young, you know, comes back in the mix. That's a lot of fun. But, wow, they have some really talented players. So I'm kind of looking with Langford getting hot, all that. I see a big upside for the Rangers.
A big story for us yesterday was Max Scherzer going on foul territory saying he was not going to waive his no-trade clause because he believes this team can still win. I wonder your thoughts on Max still having that kind of faith and not wanting to go anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I believe Max 100%. He's seen a lot. He's seen a lot of championship-caliber teams. He likes the culture. Chris Young has built something nice. He's also shown a willingness to make moves, so it's not like he's going to sit there and go, okay, well, we'll just keep riding it out. He's looking for a way for that team to get better. And Max Scherzer knows that, you know, that's what he's willing to do. So so within that, I think that, you know, you have to, you know that Max Scherzer getting back in the mix is a good thing, and guys getting healthy is even better. So it's going to be fun, and that division is winnable. And all of a sudden you get in, anything can happen.
Thank you so much for your time, Doug. Enjoy the All-Star break and all that.
Okay, appreciate it. I'll be out there.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, see you there. If you need anything, just let us know.
Let's party.
There he goes. Doug Glanville, ESPN. Great 9-year, a big league career as an outfielder, part of the Rangers in 2003. And that team was freaking loaded. I mean, that pitching, even though Colby Lewis was there, and I think they had Ismael Valdez as well, who might have got hurt, that pitching had to be horrible to not win 100 games. They lost 90.
Gosh.
They lost 90 with that group.
Speaking of lost, Paul Skeens got pulled in the 7th, and they gave up a hit as soon as he came out of the game.
Yeah, the no-hitter goes down.
Yeah.
But, hey, he's hit a career-high 11 Ks today. I mean, he was absolutely brilliant. And I think I saw, like, a crazy stat that Sarah Lang put out there. Paul Skeens, first pitcher with 7 or more strikeouts and at least 10 of his first 11 career appearances since 1901. He's been
like Christy Mathewson kind of guy.
A historic type of guy has arrived. And I don't blame the Pirates at all for pulling him because that's the only thing that's stopping these tremendously brilliant careers. And it's happened to a ton of them, especially the hard throwers. So I think they're doing it right to, you know, keep him what they pull him at, 110 pitches?
Yeah, pitches? He was well over 100.
He was over 100. Okay, C-Notes coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll be talking Cowboys. Rim Session coming up at 3:40. What do we got next, Wolchuk?
Yeah, let's do some NFL news today. Cowboys are favored to land this wide receiver. Bill B and Jamal Adams land some new jobs, and wide receivers talking QBs. That's next.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. We're talking football. We're talking baseball. We got a hoop coming up at 3:40, a little proper rim session for you. C-Note at 4 o'clock. This segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel are the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one has been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Here's Wolchuk with your NFL news.
Former Hebron Hawk and LSU Tiger Jamal Adams has a new home as the Titans have agreed to a deal with the free agent safety. Seven-year veteran. Yep, tighten up, baby, tighten up. He spent the last 4 years with Seattle before they released him as a cap casualty on March 5th. Titans currently have Amani Hooker and Elijah Molden as their starting safeties. So Jamal Adams hoping to take one of those spots as the team will open up camp a day before. We'll be flying out to Oxnard on July 23rd. So the Seahawks part with two first-rounders. To acquire
that's Adams. What I was wondering, yeah.
Yep, from the Jets. And look, that's one that I know the Cowboys were
always
being linked there because Jamal Adams ran over to Jason Garrett, said, hey, come get me along. I mean, Earl Thomas did the same thing. Yeah. Adams had flirted with the Cowboys too, being a local DFW kid. So, man, I mean, it seems like the Cowboys dodged a bullet by not overpaying. To get
Jamal missed half the games that he could have played there.
Yeah, he just wasn't available. And he's just 28 years old now. He did set a record with the Seahawks for most sacks by a defensive back with 9.5, but he hasn't recorded a sack since then, and that was back in 2022. So certainly not a contract or a trade that aged well for Seattle, but we'll see what he can do there with the Titans, who now have a new coaching staff and are going in a new direction there.
Out of all the decisions the Cowboys have made as far as positional value, I think their aversion to paying any safety has been brilliant, you know, because it is just such a pitfall operation to go out there and try to find a great one that stays great.
Yeah. And right now,
they're unicorns. Market,
they are. The special ones are rare.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, an Antoine Winfield, who's disrupting the game, both not only in pass coverage, but in the running game, like, he gets paid. But a lot of these guys aren't going to get the money. I mean, Justin Simmons is another guy that's still a free agent, got paid a couple years ago by the Broncos.
Sure.
So a lot of these guys end up being cap casualties, and those contracts don't age well.
Maybe you know he's represented by Dax guy. Maybe you can go for a 2-for-1 deal there.
So, oh, that's right. Simmons is a Todd France client. Todd,
yeah, maybe you could find a way to. If you get Dax done, we'll throw Simmons in there.
I wouldn't mind that. Yeah, I mean Justin Simmons was a hell of a player.
I'll say this though, do you feel like that they paid Hooker right,
but not a lot of money.
Okay, and they paid Wilson.
Yeah, but again, not a lot of money.
$6-8 million.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, you know, it's
like they paid.
I would rather them, like,
But they're not throwing first round picks, elite money.
Like they're paying like $2 to $4 million a year on these guys.
You have Minkah Fitzpatrick, who was the guy before him, Polamalu.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, you've got some guys that
through history.
Yeah, history will tell you. But
there's guys you can be like, oh wow, that guy was great. And when you have one that's dynamic and does everything and affects the passing game, it's great. But there's a reason they chose safety and not corner. It's because their coverage skills aren't as good.
Yeah,
and that's just. That's tough to reward at, you know, $15-20 million a year.
It is. And right now you're not, I mean, Winfield just got the big bag, but outside of him, I don't know that there's a lot of safeties that are worth paying as of today. Minkah certainly is one from the 214, and you mentioned him. This one is a name that we've floated out there, but the Cowboys, according to Sports Illustrated right now, are listed as the favorites, according to odds makers, to sign former Saints star wide receiver Michael Thomas. Cowboys are listed from Bet Online 3-1 favorites to land Thomas, followed by the Buffalo Bills, the Ravens, the Broncos, and the Chiefs. I don't think there's any interest right now. I did kind of try and ask around this morning when I saw this article, and I was not told that the Cowboys have a ton of interest as of today, but I wonder if this would be something, much like yesterday we mentioned with Fournette, which I also got told, like, nope, don't think so, that if they get to camp and they really aren't liking what they're seeing from Tolbert, and maybe none of these other receivers really are stepping up like we think Brooks might be able to, Flournoy's really not ready, their late pick in the sixth round, maybe they do give Michael Thomas a call. I mean, they need some size if they really want to work Kevontae Turpin in, because you've got Cooks who's smaller, Turpin who's smaller. Thomas and CeeDee Lamb would give you outside receiver size targets.
Yeah, the health is always going to be an issue there. So we'll see. Maybe
He's just not available. But again, I mean, I think that'd be a cheap deal.
Yeah, we'll see. I just checked with some people to see if they've done a physical on this guy.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, they... Yeah. You sneak a guy in and you know, that maybe that might be that before you get to camp, you get a physical on the guy and kind of get an idea of where he is health-wise. So I asked a couple people there. Let's see if they get back.
Okay. That's great insight.
Just got an answer. Nope. Have not done a physical.
All right. Yep. So, Mike, I don't think Michael Thomas is on their radar right now, but maybe when you get closer to the season or if there's an injury, something happens.
It's got
to
be a cheap signing, though.
Absolutely. And I think it would be. I mean, he doesn't warrant any big money because he hasn't played. He's been hurt the last 3 years. Bill Belichick is getting a new gig. He will be joining Inside the NFL on CW. He's going to join the Thursday show, which will feature Ryan Clark, Chad Johnson, and Chris Long weekly. So it'll be Bill, Clark, Johnson.
Is that the old show? I mean,
I had Nick Bonacotti on it.
Is that the HBO thing?
Glenn Dawson. Yes, used to be on HBO. Yeah.
I had a chance, matter of fact, when I got let go of the Cowboys in 05, I had a chance to work on that show.
Dude, I loved it growing up.
Peter King was going to, I was going to be the anonymous scout. They had a role for me
Peter had like a weekly hit that he would do on I was their, gonna like,
be, specials. Yeah, they're like, hey, Brian, we're thinking about this role where you could be like the anonymous scout that comes on and kind of talks and stuff, like not come on, but like have thoughts and things.
That'd have been fun.
And, well, I at job, it was like I was gonna pay like $75,000 just doing that. And it was like I went to work at the Raiders. I gave it up because And then
it's
I was
hard
with the
to
Raiders
leave the
for
league, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, well, you know, Peter, hey, I've got this deal with the Raiders. He's like, all right, well, good luck. So then I left the Raiders, and he came back. I go circle back with him. He's like, nah, Brian, we're not going to do it now. Mm. So, my ex-wife, God, she was mad. Oh my God, was she mad at me?
Why would you turn that down?
Yeah, goodness. Well, she thought we were going to the Raiders.
Yeah,
you know. But anyway, it didn't work out. But I had a chance to go, maybe to be on that show.
It's a great show. I mean, I grew up watching that with my grandparents. I loved it. I haven't really watched it since it moved networks, but I'm sure it's still good. I mean, they've changed the entire desk there. I mean, all these guys are new to me. I haven't, but growing up and watching.
Were like
I mean,
Brandon Marshall on those guys on there?
Yeah, B. Marsh used to be on it. I guess he's not on it.
I haven't watched him. When you mentioned like Nick Bonacani, Lynn Dawson.
That's the version and
that
Jerry
was like
Landville's
the original.
Crazy ass.
Yeah.
It was an awesome show. It was really, really good. I think like JB.
James Brown was the host. Yeah.
Yeah, man, it was good. All right, let's hear some wide receiver audio. Tyreek Hill was on Instagram Live. He loves doing this. He's big on the gaming, of course, and he's streaming. And randomly he got asked, hey, name your top five quarterbacks. There's one name in here that really stood out among the rest.
Top five quarterbacks in the league: Patrick, Tua, Lamar, Dak. Baker Mayfield.
Whoa. Baker Mayfield?
Baker. I know.
That's
like,
fun.
Like, Dak's going to turn heads, right? Like, top five quarterback in the league. That, I mean, look, you're runner-up for MVP. I get it. The postseason success, not there. But Baker, my gosh. I mean, he's on his, what, third team in 4 years now?
Yeah. Where did he, where does he have a, did he never played with Baker Mayfield anywhere, did he?
I don't believe so. I don't think he ever did play with Baker. Because Baker
was
went,
he doing that as a troll?
I mean, he might have just been like, he's spitballing off the top of his head.
He so named he four guys really. Real quick, and then it's like he got stuck a little bit on the fifth one.
You know, but like.
No Josh Allen.
No Josh Allen, no yeah. Joe Burrow.
No Joe Burrow, yeah.
But again, hey, Burrow said this, you don't play, all of a sudden you're forgotten. Like Baker Mayfield won a playoff game, lost in the second round. All of a sudden he's top front, you know, top of the mind there for Tyreek Hill. But hey, the top five list, everybody's entitled to their own. I didn't think
no,
that
no, no. Hey, absolutely.
What's your top five? I don't know who my fifth guy is right now. I got Mahomes. I got Burrow.
Okay.
I'm going to put Aaron Rodgers in there. I'm going to put C.J. Stroud in there already.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then is it Josh Allen?
I think I would put Allen in the top five. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would probably go with Mahomes, Burrow. I think Josh Allen has five playoff wins. Like, he's only losing to Mahomes and Burrow, which is crazy. So I'm not going to knock him for that. I think I'm still going to put Lamar in my top five just because of how dynamic he is, and he's so difficult to defend. And I think that speaks to the lack of really the drop-off at quarterback. Rodgers is fair to put in there, right? He's a multi-MVP. He's won a Super Bowl. It's just, what have you done for me lately? Kind of thing. So, man, that's tough. Who is number five right now?
I mean, Tua, Justin Herbert.
Like, that's where Dak starts to come into the conversation.
Yeah. I don't know what to do with Lamar Jackson. You know, my gut is telling me while running the ball in January is very important, if you can't win from the pocket more consistently against good defense, that's going to get you knocked out in the playoffs.
And it did.
And he's had some good rosters.
It did, absolutely. Okay, here's Justin Jefferson, who, without question, one of the best receivers, if not the best in the NFL. He's talking on the Rich Eisen show. Were you upset when Kirk Cousins left?
I always knew, you know, Kirk, you know, was going to do whatever he needs to do for you know, his business-wise. I just knew that, you know, everything just wasn't, you know, the way he wanted it to be here. And especially, you know, just with having to pay me and, you know, having to play so many other different guys, I feel like he just wanted a new start, a new opportunity to, you know, start with Atlanta and a clean slate. And I'm not mad at him at all for that. I'm grateful for what he has brought to me and, you know, the things that we have accomplished together.
I think he answered that as good as you can, you know, showing appreciation to Kirk Cousins. That was great. But it's difficult to be honest in this situation. Number one, because you're talking about another guy's, you know, business and income. Yeah, sure. And there is definitely a code that you just don't talk about that. But number two, as he kind of hinted to, the fact that they didn't pay him is maybe how the extra money was left for you to, you know, reset the market at wide receiver. So there's just so many entanglements in this. It's to me, it's awkward to ask a player about this kind of thing.
Use of the word entanglement.
Thank
right
you.
There. That
Thank
was
you.
Fantastic, but it made me think of the comp that you were making a week or two ago, Brian, about like, are the Cowboys going to be in a similar boat where Dak does leave? And it's like, okay, well, now you just insert CeeDee Lamb for Justin Jefferson. He gets his money, and CD's here answering that question. Like, I can't be mad at Dak.
I just believe this. I believe the 2024 Minnesota Vikings are going to tell you how things are going to look potentially for the 2025 Cowboys. Quarterback leaves.
Yeah.
You sign your wide receiver. You got some. You know, you lost a lot of depth, but you
drafted a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, you got
11.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dak basically is Kirk Cousins. You got a great point there.
I mean, I'm just saying how the team is going to look. I think the 2024 Minnesota Vikings, if that team kind of scuffles around, is, you know, 7-10, or, you know, because they're playing with a rookie quarterback, I could see this receiver getting really frustrated because the numbers aren't there. this Minnesota Viking team might be just what your Dallas Cowboys are going to look like in 2025.
Could be. It absolutely could be. Bears are excusing Jonathan Owens.
To go watch his
Mr.
wife.
Mr. Simone Biles. Yeah, he's going to be excused to go watch Simone at the Paris Olympics. And sad news, former Cowboy Super Bowl champ, a longtime Cleveland Brown, Bernie Kosar, suffering from liver failure, and he cites early signs of Parkinson's, according to reports. So thoughts and prayers with Bernie, who's at 60 years old. He's had to consult an independent NFL doctor over the spring, and hopefully he's able to battle this and get back to health.
Yeah, I think Mr. Biles saw that the Team USA basketball team is a bunch of Simone Biles super fans, and he was like, you guys got to give me a couple of weeks here.
Yeah.
Just give me a chance to go over there and watch my lady, if you don't mind. I think the front office saw eye to eye with them as soon as they clicked that link.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Totally understand, young man. Okay, Around the Rim coming up next. We got some hoop, then a C-note coming up at 4 o'clock. What kind of basketball stuff's cooking, Wolchuk?
Well, speaking of Team USA, the Derek White decision, KD is talking about this height gate, and Kobe before Kobe, that's next.
Thank you, Lucius. C-note's coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll talk some Cowboys. Here's Wolchuk to give us some hoop talk.
Thank you very much. Make sure you go out, check out Sean RJ. Well, really, it's going to be Eric RJ and Bobby, Glenn Heights, Firehouse Tour.
Shows have been good.
They have been good. Eric's doing a hell of a job, man. He really, really is. Yeah. But they're going to be out there. They'll have, of course, Sean and RJ things to give away, but they're also going to have a couple of our G-Bag Nation chalices as well.
Oh.
So you can get one or the other. So they'll have a select few amount of each. But we'll make sure all the Tolos are happy. Plus, there's food out there thanks to Palmer's. We love Palmer's.
Stay away from the maroon.
That's going to be amazing. Yeah, I wonder what the heat level he's putting out there, man.
Palmer, his food is excellent. But when you, I just could, there's certain colors of it.
There's no joke on his heat, man.
No, it is really Nashville hot chicken.
It sure is.
And it's very, very good. But, man, sometimes he'll throw it at you and you're like going, yeah, and we did the spices the other day.
We did. And honestly, those are not as bad. I would take those over the maroon.
I think so, too.
Me, too. Holy moly. Yeah, Palmer's hot chicken. He's doing it right, but that stuff is no joke. So check him out in Glen Heights as the Firehouse Tour rolls on tomorrow. But right now, let's go ahead, cut the lights out, put the kids to bed. Let's go all the way around the rim. A rain dance. Shout out to Team USA. They go and knock off Canada 86-72. Anthony Edwards scoring 13 points. Steph Curry adding 12 as well. As the tune-up game went very, very well. Drew Holiday scored 11. Anthony Davis in double figures as well with 10. RJ Barrett was your leading scorer for Team Canada with 12. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Dylan Brooks each added 10. Did see Joel Embiid got in some foul trouble early, and Dwight Powell
got hit in the face about three times.
And he wasn't playing bad defense. It was like, what the hell's going on? Where's this version of Dwight Powell been?
Wait, I learned this about technical fouls count as personal fouls.
Oh, and the rules.
Yeah, so in those rules, that sometimes you'd think that, okay. Yeah, like all of a sudden you're in foul trouble and like, whoa, wait a minute, I had a technical foul? You know, that counts, so. Mm. That's why every once in a while you international play, you got to pay attention to the rules.
Well, Anthony Edwards said he was primary option number one for
sure.
Team
looked
USA.
Like it.
He did, right? And afterwards, they asked him, like, did you think you're the top option out there? Anthony Edwards looks straight at the camera, goes, what'd you think? I mean, I love the confidence that he's got. And he's, I mean, he might be right.
He's great for the game. Tremendous young man confidence. You got to love it. I just think it's, more important than on a lot of Team USA star players that you have somebody else set him up. It needs to be more of a traditional point guard, two guard relationship than the modern, hey, our 6'6 ball handler is our Mr. Everything.
You're probably right. They need to find, did they end up, because Conley's there, but he's getting older. And I think they actually ended up making a trade in the draft to get a guard, if I'm not mistaken. So they might have that exact same plan, Gavin Dawson, to make sure they've got a primary point guard to let Anthony Edwards just go off ball and do whatever he needs to do.
Now, I mean, you want the ball to find him.
Yes, you do. I mean, obviously, he's going to be your primary offensive weapon, no question.
He makes it look easy, you know? There's not anybody else on that team that can slice through like that.
Was that Dillingham?
Maybe it was Dillingham, yes. That sounds right.
Yeah, it was Dillingham.
Yes, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Now, yesterday, we opened the show with, okay, Kawhi Leonard is leaving Team USA, and they did say that was a Team USA decision. It was a conference call with Grant Hill, who is the Team USA executive director. He took the podium and he said, yeah, I mean, it was, of course, our decision. We
guys
felt that we had
up.
To pivot. Yeah, he didn't want to get into particulars, but
that's
he did mention
man.
It was also in the Clippers' best interest. I mean, you've got like Paul Pierce who's saying maybe it's time for Kawhi to retire.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, your body's failing you right now, and maybe it is. But they make the decision to go with Derek White. Derek White is the only player on Team USA to have never even made an All-Star game. Jaylen Brown took to Twitter and had the eye emojis and was like, I guess it's because he's an Adidas athlete is what he inferred.
Oh, no way.
That he was not selected for Team USA. Maybe there's some bias because, you know, it's Nike that is the main people that run, of course, Team USA basketball. So Grant Hill was asked about the decision to not have Jaylen Brown on and go with Derek White.
Well, for a good portion of my career, I wore Fila. That was supposed to be a joke. Playwright. We're proud of our partners, obviously, in USA Basketball. But, you know, this is about putting together a team. And I'm glad you kind of brought that up because I think just overall, you have incredible interest from, you know, an abundance of talent that we have here in the United States. And I've talked a little bit about when we, you know, we assembled this roster. You get 12 spots and you have to build a team. And one of the hardest things is leaving people off the roster that I'm a fan of, that I look forward to watching throughout the season, throughout the playoffs. Guys who've been finals MVPs, guys who've been a part of the program, guys who've won gold medals, guys who I respect, admire, and enjoy watching. But the responsibility that I have is to put together a team, and a team that complements each other, a team that fits, a team that will give us the best opportunity for success. And you know, whatever theories that might be out there, they're just that.
So I didn't think Jaylen Brown's good enough?
I guess they think
saying?
That Derek White's a better fit than Jaylen Brown is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he's saying, yeah. And look, Derek White is maybe the best role player in the NBA. We saw what he did in the finals. I mean, he gained all of our respect. He's absolutely phenomenal. What he does defensively is brilliant, hustling for rebounds. But Jaylen Brown did just win Eastern Conference Finals MVP and NBA Finals MVP.
Yeah, there's just no comparing the two, you know, and this, well, we need to build a team. It's like, no, actually, Team USA is a collection of superstars that sacrifice for one another, and Jaylen Brown is the perfect guy to do this. Yes. It's a total mystery pick. There's got to be some sort of nepotism, I believe, here involved. How about that word, Wolchuk?
I like that,
that
word as well.
You like
and,
that?
And I do think that it's all because I'm buying the conspiracy. He's
the
an
shoe
Adidas
deal?
Athlete. Yep, yeah. I am. I'm buying it. I think Jaylen Brown
called
him
out. Couldn't you find a better Adidas athlete?
Than Jaylen Brown.
Isn't James Harden an Adidas athlete?
Yeah, he probably is. He probably is.
You're not putting a guy out for defense in the Olympics.
Yeah, it's weird to me.
You get great two-way players who are 30-point-per-game guys who happen to play great defense.
It's bizarre. Then we have a picture that came out of Team USA, and on the top, like the back line, you've got Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, and Anthony Davis. They're all standing.
How about Kyrie Irving? You want somebody to
Kyrie
set somebody up at an extremely high level?
And I wondered about Kyrie because he's played for Team USA before. But Kevin Durant goes on the Up and Adams show because it looks like Joel Embiid's just a little bit taller than him, or he's about the same height as Joel Embiid. But Anthony Davis looks shorter than both of them, and he's listed as, what, a 7-footer? So Kay Adams on the Up and Adams show has to ask him what the hell is going on with the size stuff.
Happy I'm running into you like this because I have to ask you how tall you are. How tall are you? Because there's some huge controversy about you being a lot taller than 6'10 with this Team USA photo shoot that happened. Have you seen this?
No, I don't know why that. I guess those guys might be shorter than what their numbers say. I'm 6'9 though, so it looks like Bam Adebayo is probably 6'8.
Yeah.
Instead of 6'10, and AD is probably 6'9. You know, so they probably adding a little more in their height while I'm keeping mine at the same. You know. I'm not lying about my height.
You look just as tall as Embiid, and he's listed at 7 feet. So you're saying those guys are all lying.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Embiid's not 7 feet.
I just thought maybe you're 7'2", and you've been lying this whole time.
Nah. No. You seen me before. I look 7'2".
I couldn't tell because you were sitting at the Super Bowl. Now that that's taken care of and the world can rest.
Man, it's so, and it,
she's trying to get out of that.
I love the honesty there. And he's like, yeah, they're lying because I'm 6'9" and he looks to be exactly the same height as Joel Embiid. So maybe they're fudging the numbers a little bit. Embiid and Anthony Davis.
She's super cute, but man, she has some awkward moments there going solo.
Yeah, he's basically like, so they're liars, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to call my teammates liars here, but
hey, honestly, like the height of NBA players is fascinating.
It
you
is.
Know, and how short some of these like dominant post players have been.
And how much are the shoes helping? Speaking of the shoes, and thank you. We got the 2-on-4 is fact checking some of this. Like Anthony Edwards, Adidas athlete. Steph Curry, Under Armour athlete.
Under Armour, yeah.
So maybe, you know, the shoe thing, maybe that is just a bad theory. It could be. You could be onto something. I want to wrap up.
We need answers, though.
We do need answers because Jaylen Brown not being on there is ridiculous. I want to wrap up around the rim with Shaq and Penny Hardaway. And this is from the Big Pod with Shaq. And Lucius, I know you are a big Penny Hardaway fan. And Shaq giving Penny his flowers here.
Penny, because of you, I have to curse so many little kids out. No, seriously. Because the reason why is they ask me all the time. They say, who's better, Penny or Kobe? And I always say Penny was Kobe before Kobe. And the kids before this social media era, they act like they don't understand what I'm telling them. Then I have to tell them, do you have Google, you little stupid? Look and see who Penny was. And remember, Penny came in day one like this. Kobe first year didn't start. Second year didn't start. Third year upstairs saying, okay, hey, it's time for him to play. Then he started. Took him 600 to 900 days to become the Black Mama. Penny came in, Penny. I always want to give you your love. I'm always going to give you your props. I'm always going to remind these little dumb kids what greatness is all about. Bro, we never had a fight. We never had an argument. The other guy, every day. Once he became that Black Mamba, every day.
Every day. Okay. All righty. Man.
Penny swerving Hardaway across some lanes of complimenting Penny there.
Just to get, yeah, it's like.
Got Kobe a little bit.
I want to like take down Kobe here, but Penny, we're giving you your props. I would have loved to see what Penny and Shaq could have done together. Maybe they would have had some championships in their future if they had to stay together in Orlando.
Thought we might get the second verse to tell me how my ass tastes there in a second. But no, seriously, Penny was incredible.
He was.
And it was a little injury that kind of slowed him down. Seemed like 5 or 6 years in. But he and Grant Hill. There was a time when Jordan was out that Grant Hill appeared to be the best player in the game as well. But he had that, I think it was a foot deal. Well, thank you, Woolchuck.
Thank you.
Always nice to get an afternoon rim session in there. Now we've done it once again.
That's it is so good.
The G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. How about the C-Note Cowboys news of the evening as we continue our countdown to camp? That's coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation. Thank you, Lucius. C-Note's coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll talk some Cowboys. Here's Woolchuck to give us some hoop talk.
Thank you very much. Make sure you go out, check out Sean RJ. Well, really, it's going to be Eric RJ and Bobby. Glenn Heights, Firehouse Tour.
Shows have been good.
They have been good. Eric's doing a hell of a job, man. He really, really is. Yeah. But they're going to be out there. They'll have, of course, Sean and RJ things to give away. But they're also going to have a couple of our G-Bag Nation chalices as well.
Oh.
So you can get one or the other. So they'll have a select few amount of each. But we'll make sure all the Tolos are happy. Plus, there's food out there thanks to Palmer's. Mm. We love Palmer's.
Stay away from the maroon.
That's going to be amazing. Yeah. I wonder what the heat level he's putting out there, man.
Palmer, his food is excellent. But when you... I just could, there's certain colors of it when it, I just like,
he's, I can't, no I, joke on his heat, man.
No, it is really Nashville hot chicken.
It sure and, is.
And it's very, very good. But man, sometimes he'll throw it at you and you're like going, and we did the spices the other day.
We did. And honestly, those are not as bad. I would take those over the maroon.
I think so too.
Me too. Holy moly. Yeah, Palmer's hot chicken. He's doing it right, but that stuff is no joke. So check him out in Glen Heights as the Firehouse Tour rolls on tomorrow. But right now, let's go ahead, cut the lights out, put the kids to bed. Let's go all the way around the rim. A rain dance. Shout out to Team USA. They go and knock off Canada 86-72. Anthony Edwards scoring 13 points. Steph Curry adding 12 as well. As the tune-up game went very, very well. Drew Holiday scored 11. Anthony Davis in double figures as well with 10. RJ Barrett was your leading scorer for Team Canada with 12. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Dylan Brooks each added 10. Did see Joel Embiid got in some foul trouble early, and Dwight Powell
got hit in the face about three times.
And he wasn't playing bad defense. It was like, what the hell's going on? It was, well, where's this version of Dwight Powell been?
Wait, I learned this about technical fouls count as personal fouls.
Oh, and the
so that's how you
FIBA rules.
Yeah, so in those rules, so yeah, that sometimes you think that, okay,
well,
yeah, like all of a sudden you're in foul trouble and like, well, wait a minute, I had a technical foul? You know, that counts. So that's why you, every once in a while you in international play, you got to pay attention to the rules.
Well, Anthony Edwards said he was primary option number one for
Team USA. Sure looked like it.
He did, right? And afterwards, they asked him, like, did you think you're the top option out there? Anthony Edwards looks straight at the camera and goes, what'd you think? I mean, I love the confidence that he's got. And he's, I mean, he might be right.
He's great for the game. Tremendous young man confidence. You got to love it. I just think it's, you know, more important than on a lot of Team USA star players that you have somebody else set him up. It needs to be more of a traditional point guard, two guard relationship than the modern, hey, our 6'6 ball handler is our Mr. Everything.
You're probably right. They need to find, did they end up, because Conley's there, but he's getting older. And I think they actually ended up making a trade in the draft to get a guard, if I'm not mistaken. So they might have that exact same plan, Gavin Dawson, to make sure they've got a primary point guard to let Anthony Edwards just go off ball and do whatever he needs to do.
Now, I mean, you want the ball to find him.
Yes, you do. I mean, obviously, he's going to be your primary offensive weapon, no question.
He makes it look easy, you know? But, and there's not anybody else on that team that can slice through like that.
Was that Dillingham?
Maybe it was Dillingham, yes. That sounds right.
Yeah, it was Dillingham.
Yes, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Now, yesterday, we opened the show with, okay, Kawhi Leonard is leaving Team USA, and they did say that that was a Team USA decision. It was a conference call with Grant Hill, who is the Team USA executive director. He took the podium and he said, yeah, I mean, it was, of course, our decision. We
guys
felt that we
up.
Had to pivot. He didn't want to get into particulars, but
that's
he did mention
man.
It was also in the Clippers' best interest. I mean, you've got like Paul Pierce who's saying maybe it's time for Kawhi to retire.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, your body's failing you right now, and maybe it is, but they make the decision to go with Derek White. Derek White is the only player on Team USA to have never even made an All-Star game. Jaylen Brown took to Twitter and had the eye emojis and was like, I guess it's because he's an Adidas athlete is what he inferred.
Oh, no way.
That he was not selected for Team USA. Maybe there's some bias because, you know, it's Nike that is the main people that run, of course, Team USA basketball. So Grant Hill was asked about the decision to not have Jaylen Brown on and go with Derek White.
Well, for a good portion of my career, I wore Fila. That was supposed to be a joke. Playwright. We're proud of our partners, obviously, in USA Basketball, but, you know, this is about putting together a team. And I'm glad you kind of brought that up, because I think just overall, you have incredible interest from, you know, an abundance of talent that we have here in the United States. And I've talked a little bit about when we, you know, we assembled this roster. You can't, you know, get 12 spots and you have to build a team. And one of the hardest things is leaving people off the roster that I'm a fan of, that I look forward to watching throughout the season, throughout the playoffs. Guys who've been finals MVPs, guys who've been a part of the program, guys who've won gold medals, guys who I respect, admire, and enjoy watching. But the responsibility that I have is to put together a team, and a team that complements each other, a team that fits, a team that will give us the best opportunity for success. And so, you know, whatever theories that might be out there, you know, they're just that.
So they didn't think Jalen Brown's good enough?
I guess they think saying? That Derek White's a better fit than Jalen Brown is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he's saying, yeah. And look, Derek White is maybe the best role player in the NBA. We saw what he did in the finals. I mean, he gained all of our respect. He's absolutely phenomenal. What he does defensively is brilliant, hustling for rebounds. But Jalen Brown did just win Eastern Conference Finals MVP and NBA Finals MVP.
Yeah, there's just no comparing the two, you know, and this, well, we need to build a team. It's like, no, actually, Team USA is a collection of superstars that sacrifice for one another, and Jaylen Brown is the perfect guy to do this. Yes. It's a total mystery pick. There's got to be some sort of nepotism, I believe, here involved. How about that word, Wolchuk?
I like that, that word as well.
You like
and,
that?
And I do think that it's all because I'm buying the conspiracy. He's
the shoe
Adidas
deal?
Athlete. Yep, yeah. I am. I'm buying it. I think Jaylen Brown
called
him.
Couldn't you find a better
out.
Adidas athlete?
Than Jaylen Brown.
Isn't James Harden an Adidas athlete?
Yeah, he probably is. He probably is.
You're not putting a guy out for defense in the Olympics.
Yeah, it's weird to me.
You get great two-way players who are 30-point-per-game guys who happen to play great defense.
It's bizarre. Then we have a picture that came out of Team USA, and on the top, like the back line, you've got Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, and Anthony Davis. They're all standing.
How about Kyrie Irving? You want somebody to set somebody up at an extremely high level?
And I wondered about Kyrie because he's played for Team USA before. But Kevin Durant goes on the Up and Adams show because it looks like Joel Embiid's just a little bit taller than him, or he's about the same height as Joel Embiid. But Anthony Davis looks shorter than both of them, and he's listed as, what, a 7-footer? So Kay Adams on the Up and Adams show has to ask him, what the hell is going on with the size stuff?
Happy I'm running into you like this because I have to ask you how tall you are. How tall are you? Because there's some huge controversy about you being a lot taller than 6'10 with this Team USA photo shoot that happened. Have you seen this?
No, I don't know why that. I guess those guys might be shorter than what their numbers say. I'm 6'9 though, so it looks like Bam Adebayo is probably 6'8.
Yeah,
instead of 6'10, and AD is probably 6'9. You know, so they probably adding a little more in their height while I'm keeping mine at the same. You know. I'm not lying about my height.
You look just as tall as Embiid, and he's listed at 7 feet. So you're saying those guys are all lying.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Embiid's not 7 feet.
I just thought maybe you're 7'2", and you've been lying this whole time.
Nah. No. You seen me before. I look 7'2".
I couldn't tell because you were sitting at the Super Bowl. Now that that's taken care of and the world can laugh.
Man, it's so. And it,
he's trying to get out of that.
I love the honesty there. And he's like, yeah, they're lying because I'm 6'9 and he looks to be exactly the same height as Joel Embiid. So maybe they're fudging the numbers a little bit, Embiid and Anthony Davis.
She's super cute, but man, she has some awkward moments there going solo.
Yeah, you know? Like, she's basically like, so they're liars, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to call my teammates liars here, but yeah.
But, hey, honestly, like, the height of NBA players is fascinating.
It
you
is.
You know, and how short some of these like dominant post players have been.
And how much are the shoes helping? Speaking of the shoes. And thank you. We got the 2-on-4 fact checking some of this. Like Anthony Edwards, Adidas athlete. Steph Curry, Under Armour athlete.
Under Armour, yeah.
So maybe, you know, the shoe thing, maybe that is just a bad theory. It could be. You could be onto something. I want to wrap up.
We need answers, though.
We do need answers because Jaylen Brown not being on there is ridiculous. I want to wrap up around the rim with Shaq and Penny Hardaway. And this is from the Big Pod with Shaq. And Lucius, I know you are a big Penny Hardaway fan. And Shaq giving Penny his flowers here.
Penny, because of you, I have to curse so many little kids out. No, seriously. Because the reason why is they ask me all the time. They say, who's better, Penny or Kobe? And I always say Penny was Kobe before Kobe. And the kids before this social media era, they act like they don't understand what I'm telling them. Then I have to tell them, do you have Google, you little stupid? Look and see who Penny was. And remember, Penny came in day one like this. Kobe first year didn't start. Second year didn't start. Third year upstairs saying, okay, hey, it's time for him to play. Then he started. Took him 600 to 900 days to become the Black Mama. Penny came in, Penny. I always want to give you your love. I'm always going to give you your props. I'm always going to remind these little dumb kids what greatness is all about. Bro, we never had a fight. We never had an argument. The other guy, every day. Once he became that Black Mamba, every day.
Every day. Okay. All righty. Man.
Penny swerving Hardaway. Across some lanes of complimenting Penny there.
Just to get, yeah, it's like.
Got Kobe a little bit.
I want to, like, take down Kobe here, but Penny, we're giving you your props. I would have loved to see what Penny and Shaq could have done together. Maybe they would have had some championships in their future if they had to stay together in Orlando.
I thought we might get the second verse to tell me how my ass tastes there in a second. But no, seriously, Penny was incredible.
He was.
And it was just, it was a little injury that kind of slowed him down. Seemed like 5 or 6 years in. But he and Grant Hill. There was a time when Jordan was out that Grant Hill appeared to be the best player in the game as well. But he had that, I think it was a foot deal. Well, thank you, Woolchuck.
Thank you.
Always nice to get an afternoon rim session in there. Now we've done it once again.
That's
it is
so good.
The G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. How about the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening as we continue our countdown to camp. That's coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.